Coming up on TMS, I want to die like Spider-Man.
Do not badmouth the president's kids.
HIV might be getting lamer and lamer over time.
Hobbit films might not be the end of all this.
Parks and Rec gonna not go out quietly.
Fitness geek.
Jury duty and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
With these rich and glowing colors, the chemists improve on nature. Yard after endless yard of perfect and flawless material bears ingrained in its very structure the colors and designs that will enhance its beauty in the interior trim of the finest motor cars.
If he is still alive, my robots will find him.
The Morning Stream.
Is The Morning Stream. Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to The Morning Stream for Tuesday, December 2nd, 2014. Ever closer to the great grand holiday of Christmas.
That's right.
Where you and your family will gather around the tree, share presents. Hey, when you were a kid, who was in charge of present distribution?
It was always the youngest kid there. So I was for a while. And then when my uncle got married to a woman who had a couple daughters, then they did it, which is fine. I don't want that role. I don't want that job. And now Tristan does it when we're over at Tina's parents' house.
Yeah.
Even though he's 17. Here you go. Here's this one right here.
This is so stupid here. You can have it. Okay. Well, Wendy just always did it at our house.
Really?
It was her job and she did it forever and it was never different. And so I don't know a Christmas without Wendy, except this year will be the year that she doesn't do it. Even as an adult, she would do it. And so she did it from when I remember her being like 6 or 7 years old, straight up to modern era times. It's just Wendy all the time. We have to, I'll probably ask her on Thursday what the hell that was about.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. So, really quickly back to Tristan and more specifically a question about your daughters. When Taylor turned like 17, 18, and I know Carter's getting there, have they turned into like giant eating machines, or is that just a teenage boy thing?
I think it's a boy thing, because Nick, who is now 14, is doing this and doing it hardcore, like huge meal, and then afterwards going, I'm hungry, and then eating another five tacos or something. Like, I think it is a boy thing. It must be a metabolism boy thing.
There's a barbecue place that we love out here called KT's Barbecue. Yeah. Really, really good place. Yeah. And on the way home from a meeting last night, I decided, you know what? I'm going to swing by and I'm going to pick up their little family picnic pack, which is a pound and a quarter of meat and then 2 pints of sides and desserts and buns and all this stuff.
That all sounds all right.
It's great, and it's fantastic stuff. So I got a thing of killer beans, which is the bean recipe that Kirk makes. He's the K of K&T's. and then the other pint was their hot link, which is a pork and beef sausage, spicy, chopped up into little little rings.
Mm.
So good. And you pour sauce all over it. It's excellent.
Sounds so good.
So Tristan had to work.
Yeah.
So Tina and I got in there first. We each made a sandwich with the roll and the pork, and then put some of the beans on our plates, and then put some of the half link on there, the hot link, and it's just great, terrific stuff.
Yeah.
Tristan gets home from work.
Yeah.
And I'm downstairs playing WoW. I come upstairs, and he has dumped the entire pint of beans and sausage onto a plate, swirled it all together, and is like dipping a roll into it and just scarfing it down. A pint, like we seriously had maybe, you know, there were easily on both things, there were like 3/4 of a pint left.
Yeah.
And he had dumped those all into a bowl. Now, he hasn't found the pork yet.
Oh, you hit the
so
pork.
So I still have a chance for lunch today.
Yeah. Good luck with that. Well, no, I guess he's at school, so you should be fine. You'd be all right.
Should be fine. Should be.
You never know when they're going to sneak home and get some of the purple stuff or whatever they do now.
Purple drink.
Yeah. It's funny though, because Nick kind of went from almost overnight. It was basically like, I'm 14, everything's normal, and one day all of a sudden he can't stop eating, and he's growing, like he's having a huge growth spurt. His shoes are my size now. Like, weird stuff like that's happening.
Oh my God.
Yeah. But the girls, nope. They just, kind of different. I don't know. It's, you know, we always want to, all you hear about in the news is how men and women need more equality and we need to figure out how to be on the same page all the time, right? And that's great.
Right.
I love it. That is what I want for my daughters. But
such is not the case when it comes to
physiologically, they're different. They're so different. And mentally, they're different. They're just different. And that's okay. I like the difference. Difference is good. We like the difference. The difference that goes boom. All right.
Vive la différence.
Brian, who is French, is here. And I'm Scott, and I'm here. And we're going to do a show because we do one every day, and it's fun, and we like it. And, I feel like the show, we talk about everything, right? It's all here. It's all on display.
All open, all out on the table.
Sure. But occasionally, I feel like we'll dip into a certain category, and it's not an uncommon category for us, be it video games or movies or TV, or in this case, superheroes. They come up.
Oh, superheroes. Okay, cool.
They come up, right? It's a thing.
They do. Sure. We both like our comic books.
Yeah.
Grew up on them.
Yeah. We like our
You're
comic
a DC
book movies.
Guy, I'm a Marvel guy. Sure. So it's like the perfect Felix Unger and Felix.
Felix and what's the other guy? Max.
Tony Randall.
Felix Unger and Maxwell Smart. No.
Oh my God. Anyway.
Jimmy John Freak Pants.
You know, I should really make sure I know the basis of a call out, a pop culture call out.
Sure.
Oscar Madison.
There you
for
go.
Sake.
That's it, Oscar.
Oh, Felix was the clean one. That's right.
Oh, wait. Oh, well, who was, okay. Yeah. You're right.
Klugman was Oscar Madison.
Who was Quincy Jones, MD?
That was also Jack Klugman.
Jack Klugman. Right. Mm-hmm. I saw the movie that was based on finally. Not Quincy Jones, MD, but the odd couple. Yeah. That's a
Neil
weird
Simon deal.
Yeah. That's a weird thing to see. It's a weird, really? Yeah, it's different. It's not what you expect. It's not just, hey, we're living in an apartment and one guy's messy and the other guy's clean. It's not that at all.
Because that was the basis of the sitcom.
Yeah, that's all the sitcom was.
That's really all it was.
Tony Randall would get up and go, there are socks in the sink. And the other guy would go, bah, I don't care. Freaking all.
Smoking a cigar, whatever. Leave me alone.
I pooped on the couch. On. What are you going to do? The game's on. Exactly. That was the premise of the show. But the movie was more like, here's a bunch of friends and this is the life we live and aren't we all weird? And I don't know. It was more ensemble. It wasn't about just two of them. It was very different. I don't know what I expected. I only saw it like a couple of months ago and just thought, oh, well, that's what this is. Weird.
Did the movie have the music, the iconic theme, or did they just introduce that for the TV show?
That thing? Yeah, they had it. It totally had it.
Cool. That was the best. One of the best 70s TV themes ever.
Yeah, it's
such
like
a great song.
That and let's see. So as TV or as movie to TV conversions go, that's a successful one for sure. MASH is a successful one.
Yeah, for sure.
I had a hard time coming up with another. Somebody suggested Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I would agree. That was a good one.
Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh. Yeah. Surpassed.
Yeah. Movie was no good.
Surpassed the movie. Yeah.
Except Paul Rubens is
kind
of
Christy
funny.
Swanson. I mean, she's, you know, she's great. But,
she's good. You know what? She'll do fine. She's an heir to that Swanson chicken dinner, frozen dinner fortune. So she'll be fine. I don't remember another one, though, but that's not the point. The point is comic books, man.
Right.
we love them,
yes, we do love them.
And we like Independence, we like that Saga book, we like things Image is putting out, Dark Horse, whoever. We're just comics
Walking
are great.
Dead,
yeah, The Walking
anything
Dead,
Robert Kirkman gets his hands on.
I agree, although I'd like to see some non-zombie stuff coming up.
Brit, so, go read Brit,
is that his?
Yeah, that's his. I don't know. I don't think it's around anymore, but it was around in the early days of Invincible.
Is it the story, the untold story of the other guy from Flight
from
of the Conchords?
Flight of the Conchords.
Yeah. or Murray's story?
I knew that was coming.
That'd be amazing. Anyway, so some guy died, and it's sad because people shouldn't die at this age. He was only 35 years old. He lived in Minneapolis. He's referred to here as Minneapolis Area Man. What's his power?
Able to walk into a crowded square and throw his hat up in the air and have it freeze frame before it hits the ground. Excelsior!
Nice. I like all these 70s show references we're making.
Since you pulled me back into TV land, or I pulled myself back into TV land with the Odd Couple reference, I'm staying there.
Speaking of that, well, we may talk about this when Jerry comes on, I think, because he wanted to talk about it, but TV land has pulled Cosby Show reruns.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Jeez. Anyway, let's see here. So a Minneapolis area man recently died. It was cancer. Just before his death last week, though, he wrote his own obituary. and revealed something very startling to the world. Now, I totally respect this, and I kind of want to do this when I die. All right, so here you go.
All right.
Aaron Joseph Permont, or Permort, excuse me, 35, said he was none other than the Amazing Spider-Man.
Oh, 35. Oh, my gosh.
Here's his actual thing, the
actual bio, or the actual obituary.
Permont, Aaron Joseph, age 35, died peacefully at home on November 25th after complications from a radioactive spider bite that led to years of crime fighting and years-long battle with a nefarious criminal named Cancer, who has plagued our society for far too long. Civilians will recognize him best as Spider-Man and thank him for his many years of service protecting our city. Our family knew him only as a kind and mild-mannered art director, a designer of websites and t-shirts and concert posters, and always had the right cardigan and the right thing to say, even if it was wildly inappropriate. That's awesome.
That is awesome.
I'm not going to do a boring one. No one's allowed to be in charge of my obituary. I'm going to write my own.
Sure.
It isn't going to be Scott Blaine Johnson, a pillar of the community. I don't want to do that. I want to be funny. And so this guy has inspired me. And
so this begs the question, is there nobody doing any fact-checking on obituaries?
It's a really good question, isn't it?
I mean, could you say anything you want?
I mean, yeah, basically. Because it's your, what are they going to say? Like, they're already, the paper's already in a position of, well, first of all, they're taking your money. That's a number one thing. So you should be able to say what you want. But secondly, they're in this position of, they can't judge you, you know, because you died. Or someone died. It's like, what are they going to do? Go, he wasn't Spider-Man. Change it. You know, they can't do that.
Yeah.
So I'm with you.
I'm all for this. I think it's great. And I love what this guy wrote. However, I mean,
it could be anything. You're right. It could go the other way. There could be a dark side to this. Like it could say William Jefferson Dinglebort IV murdered 14 people.
Exactly.
The weekend before he died. Try to find the bodies.
If people don't write their own and somebody who doesn't like them writes their obituary.
Yeah. I think that's a fair point. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Somebody out there work for a paper or something? A bit writer or somebody want to tell us?
Larry Michelson, molester of children extraordinaire, has passed away.
Yeah, because somebody else could have written that to besmirch the guy who died.
Totally.
Or they could even be more jokey and say, I have evidence in my stuffed in my colon as to who killed JFK. you'll have to dig up my body yourself and find it yourself. Yeah, like you could
have to move my micro penis.
You'll have to move my micro penis is today's title of the show. That's really funny. All right, and then finally, before we call Daryl, I want to share something with everybody. Once in a while, Brian Dunaway, friend of the program, will just call me out of the blue for no reason. And I haven't been able to return this call, but he just calls sometimes, and I love his messages, so I wanted to share it with everybody here. So my recent message from our co-host on FilmSack, Brian Dunaway.
Hey, dude. This is Brian. Just calling you. Brian Dunaway. You remember me, right? All right, bye. Hey!
It's always something at the end.
Stay in school.
Yeah, stay in school. Don't do drugs. Good man, that Brian. All right, let's get Daryl in here. See what's up with him and his life. He wasn't here yesterday, was stranded. We'll get more on that story shortly. Here's your theme there for Daryl right there. It's Stump a Trek Nerd, and it's brought to you by
Hero Movie Podcast, the best source of superhero movie discussion in the multiverse. Each week, Adam, Sean, and Bruce talk exclusively about the only movies that matter, those being superhero movies. Hero Movie Podcast has it all. All of it. Find it at heromoviepodcast.com or simply search for the words hero, comma, movie, comma, podcast, wherever you find podcasts.
I don't think you need the comma. Yes.
Yeah, don't use the commas, actually. Yeah,
live a comma-free lifestyle is what I always say.
But you could put those words in any order you want. Movie, podcast, hero.
Oh, totally, dude.
Yeah.
Podcast, movie, hero. Movie, hero, podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
How about changing letters? Hoovy, Piro, podcast.
That would not work.
Okay. Well, I will not do that then. Daryl, comma, Skeels, are you there?
I, comma, am.
Okay, good. Look, you got to tell us real quick what happened yesterday. You were stuck in some icy hellhole or something. What happened?
Yeah, well, we spent Thanksgiving at the in-laws at their beach house, which to get to, you go down a giant hill.
Mm-hmm. And over the river and through the woods, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly.
All right.
Only it's Puget Sound, not a river, but whatever.
Oh, lovely.
So we were at the bottom of a giant hill, which, and then it snowed, and the snow compacted into solid ice, and that melted and then refroze, and so it was a sheet of ice going up a real steep hill.
That's not good.
And it couldn't get out.
And you guys are not equipped, either vehicularly speaking, or... like the local, you don't have like a local team of trucks just full of scrapers and salt ready at the ready. Cause this is Seattle we're talking about.
Well, not even that. This is out of town in nowhere land. There's nothing there.
Yeah. Mm. Good point. Well, good for you. And I'm sure the extra time with the in-laws was well spent.
It was spent trying to want to get out of there.
Yeah. Completely understand.
We're glad you're back.
Yes. Well, Daryl, here's your question. Now, I think what happened here is Mike went and edited today's question to be another acting one because he really liked what we did yesterday or something. Okay. I don't know. But here it is. Let's get to it. Daryl, by the way, if this is your first time listening to the show, where have you been, first of all? Second of all, Daryl's the Trek nerd. He answers Star Trek trivia questions every day, and we have a lot of fun around it. And here's today's question. What original series episode does this reenactment come from? I will be playing the part of Dr. McCoy. Brian will be playing the part of Spock. He's the science officer aboard the Enterprise, so maybe.
Oh, that one.
Yeah, that one. Okay. So, Brian, you kick it off with your first line, and we'll do our little play here. Go.
Sounds good. Fascinating. The atmosphere is remarkably similar to your 20th century. Moderately industrialized pollution containing substantial amounts of carbon monoxide and partially consumed hydrocarbons.
The word was smog!
Yes, I believe that was the term. I had no idea you were that much of a historian, Doctor.
I am not, Mr. Spock. I'm simply trying to tell you you've given us a lecture on the subject!
Ah! All right, and scene. So there's our scene. You are to tell us now whether that comes from A, The Return of the Archons, B, Miri, C, Bread and Circuses, or D, Assignment Earth. Assignment
this
Earth.
This is harder than you would think.
Yeah, it's a I agree.
You know, it was that episode where Spock and McCoy didn't get along.
Yeah. Remember that one? There was only ever one. It's like saying, hey, it's that one episode where Alexander Roshenko was annoying.
It's that Three's Company episode with the misunderstanding.
Yeah, the one where Mr. Furley thought they said something else than they were actually saying. That
That's
one?
Right, yes.
Yeah.
It's that Gilligan's Island episode where they almost get off the island.
I mean, it's like you can say some unique things about those shows. Like, oh, it was the one when the Globetrotters came to the island.
Right, sure. Right?
That'll never be repeated. And right. Should never be repeated. But for the most part,
when,
you can...
Kurt Russell was a little Tarzan boy. Yeah. Or, you know.
And you can even do this about modern stuff. Oh, it's the Big Bang Theory where Sheldon says something awkward in front of everyone. Or, right, you know, right. You can kind of do it today.
Kind of. Not as definitively. I mean, you can't say, oh, that's the episode of How I Met Your Mother where we almost meet the mother. Because that was a few episodes, but it wasn't every episode.
Right. That's a good point. And it's also like, it's more nuanced now. Back then it was real black and white. It's like, oh, they almost got off the island again. Oh, they almost did it again. Or at the end of Scooby-Doo, it was the janitor.
They ripped the mask off the guy.
And he says, I wouldn't have made it too if it wasn't for you and your dog, right? Like, you just count on those things happening.
Yeah.
But here today, it's like, yeah, Kate on Lost is having one of her days where, ooh, she's mysteriously criminal. But still, there was enough going on where you didn't feel like they were playing that card too much. Hey, it's the golden age of television. That's what I've been told.
It's that episode where the Blacklist, where nobody trusts James Spader.
Yeah, that one. Oh, see, that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Where they catch a bad guy.
But then
is the episode of The X-Files where something weird happens.
Yeah. I remember that one. That was a great episode.
That was the best one.
All right. This is the one. It's the episode of Breaking Bad where what's his name yells bitch. Right. There's only one of those ever happened.
It's the episode of David Letterman where Bill Cosby awkwardly eats curry in the back in the green room.
Oh, yeah, that one. Well, it turns out it was all of them, I guess. All right, Daryl, sorry, we're going to get to your thing here. But before we do that, why don't we, man, I don't even know what to do here, but we'll talk about it, I guess. Here's your thing. Whoops, hold on. Okay, right here.
Are you hungry?
Aren't you hungry?
Much a foodie.
We have before us an option. We can either do the final popcorn or...
Final popcorn!
Or we can eat one of them pretzels that have been haunting me for weeks.
Oh, yeah, let's do the popcorn because I had no warning about the pretzels and I've been eating them.
Let today be our pretzel warning, Ryan.
There was lots of pretzel consumption during the cover-thon.
My wife did something funny last night. you just said caught me off guard, so I want to tell you this real quick.
Okay.
So last night, I'm asleep, and I thought everything was dead quiet. Kids are asleep. Everyone's asleep. I wake up to my wife, like, guffawing, laughing next to me. Just laughing her head off. Mm-hmm. And I wake up kind of groggy and I look and the TV's on. She can't sleep. I look over on the TV and she is doing something inexplicable, something she just would never bother doing. She's watching an episode of Family Guy and laughing at it. That's like not her thing at all.
It's like an alternate reality.
Yeah. And she's laughing her head off at something Peter said or I don't know what it was. It's the episode where Brian and Stewie have a time machine or it's an alternate universe machine. Uh-huh. And it keeps taking to slightly different universes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And it's a real quick shot. Like, you know, they'll pop into Simpsons universe. Mm-hmm. So they'll pop into, universe where everybody's heads are on upside down or something.
And Claymation universe. And for a minute, they were in, like, Disney universe, which is actually pretty good and funny.
I like that episode, actually. Yeah.
It's all right. But she, Family Guy right now for me is just kind of, I don't know. I've seen all these jokes get repeated. And it's just kind of like, all right, we're out of ideas over there. But she's there laughing at it. And it was just the weirdest thing. I'm not used to seeing that. I'm like, what are you doing? She's like, I couldn't sleep. Anyway, this is We Be Poppin' once again at WeBePoppin.com. Yes. And this is the split. So I assume this is like a banana split type thing?
Yeah, that's what I would assume. So I'm sure we've got chocolate, looks like vanilla, banana.
What are the little berries in here? Is that cherry?
Yeah, like one big red candy cherry.
There's a few of them. I got like a bunch in the bottom.
Yeah.
Well, let's bite
with chocolate on them.
Yep.
Oh, okay. That's a gummy. That's like a round jelly bean. Mm. All right, let's give it a shot here. I want to get all the flavors in at once.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, smells good.
Mmm. Oh, the chocolate and banana. Fantastic.
Oh, that's really good.
Mm-hmm. I mean, gotta eat a red thing.
It's pretty sinful, though.
Mm-hmm. This does not taste as healthy as the one we had yesterday.
No, which I ate the whole thing up, by the way.
Oh, that's super cherry, that red thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you want to eat it together. Although, man, if you've got any kind of loose dental work, this whole concoction is going to give you trouble.
Mm.
I got to eat it on my left side.
There we go. Oh, this is a perfect bite right here. I'm going to hold that up to the camera. It is a popcorn with a cherry stuck on it.
You know, like you do.
Chocolate. Mm.
That's really good. Yeah, I like this.
Mm-hmm. Mm, that'll give me my sugar for the day.
I will have that right over there. So you've given up on your no more sugar, no more caffeine world, haven't you, Daryl? You're done.
Well, I gave up for Thanksgiving. Now I think I'm going back to it.
Well, after this bag of delectable
We'd
Be Poppin'. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, well,
we
good.
We be popping.
Those were all really fantastic. And big, big thanks again to Matthew for sending that to us because that was maybe some of my favorite stuff. Really good.
Thank you, punk gopher.
And it was all unique to a place and a time and a thing. And, you know, wasn't like some weird thing I could just go get at a gas station. It was great.
Right.
That's our favorite
and
kind.
And coming in soon, there will be these black things, which I got yesterday.
Yeah, the black things.
Double crisp coal is what it says it is.
I don't have those yet. I'm sure they're coming today. If you got them, I should have them. Yeah, I should have them tomorrow. Today or tomorrow. I still have to go to the DMV today. Just reminding me of that. Ugh. I tell you guys, I lost my license. Oh, I can't find it.
Oh, no, really?
Yeah, when I went to get that CT scan, I left it there somewhere. I don't know where. I think it fell out. It was such a hellscape that day. I don't know what happened to anything. So I'm lucky to get out of there with my own shoes. But Yeah, I think I left it there. And then I called there, and they have these really great lost and found procedures and everything, but they don't have it either. I can't find it. So I got to go in today and deal
with
that.
You might be able to get it replaced online.
I tried that, and they said, they said if you're past 5 years, because I think it's 7 years it's good for, and if you're only got a year or two left on it, they want you to go in. So
okay.
I don't know if I have to do tests again or anything. I shouldn't have to, right? Mm-hmm. I should just have to go in and go, yeah, I lost it. So. Take my picture.
Yeah, you just go in and you sign some things proving. What, can I see your driver's license? Prove that it's you?
Oh, you know what? Good point. They're going to probably need my birth certificate or something.
Well, they're going to need something.
Damn it. Where is that? We moved.
Social Security card?
Maybe might be all in the same envelope.
You have a passport?
You have a passport for me to see?
No.
Well, then get out. You're not legal.
All papers, right. Please.
He'll say, I'll say, yeah, let me get it in my wallet. And he'll yell,
you got 30 seconds.
Great. Great. Thank
then
you,
he's
sir.
Say, all right. Well, you need your driver's license. I guess we can make a deal.
Yeah. And then I'll arrange some sort of backdoor, like hand him $20 while no one's looking deal. Like, how's it going to go? All right, that's what I'm hoping is this will be like a port in Mexico or something.
Damn it. I set you up perfectly for what kind of a deal?
Oh, damn it. I missed it. Hold on. Let me do it late now, because I can't not do it now. Here. Hey, Brian.
Yeah, I'll make you some sort of deal and get your driver's license to you.
Oh, okay. What?
What kind of a deal?
Oh, ha, ha, ha. See what I did? I played a thing.
Pizza.
Oh, good Lord. All right. Daryl, what are we doing? Oh, back to you for birthdays. Give us one.
Oh, we have Dan Gauthier, I think it is. And if it's not that, it's Gauthier. That's he played Ensign Sam Lavelle on the TNG episode Lower Decks.
Yes.
Which was a euphemism for for Camel Town.
Yeah, right? The Lower Decks.
I'm going to go, this is Riker, I'm going to go down to Deanna Troi's cabin and check out her Lower Decks.
Yeah, and she'll say,
my body.
Great. Good job. Happy birthday to that guy. Wait, what's he doing now? Is he up still? Is he with us? Is he around?
Oh, he's around.
He was a young guy.
Okay. Yeah, he was young then.
All right. Well, you never know.
Oh, I didn't even say how old he was. 51.
Oh, all right. So he's still with us. Mm-hmm. Hey, did you know Dan Fogelberg died? I know this seems like a non sequitur, but...
When did he die?
In 2007. Wow. I don't remember that happening, and I was listening. Don't ask me why, but I got on like a pop folk terror yesterday and just listened to a bunch of like James Taylor and Dan Fogelberg and then who's that other guy?
England Dan and John Ford.
No, he's a how does it go?
A little more of that.
I can't think of it. He's always had a huge beard and curly hair. Oh, crap.
Oh, Joe Cocker?
No, no. Similar era, though.
Doctor Who?
No. No.
Jeff Lynne?
No. You know what? I have my audio thing. Let me just look up what I was streaming here. It was... Oh, this is going to irritate me when I see it, because it's going to jump out of me. Gordon Lightfoot. That's who it was.
Oh, Gordon Lightfoot.
So I was listening to...
You better take care of find you the monkey
that's great. Anyway.
By the way, speaking of Lost, this guy we were talking about, Dan Gauthier.
Yeah.
He was the co-pilot on Lost.
Oh, on the plane.
On the plane.
Right. In the clip clop. I'm aware. I'm familiar.
It's exactly the one, yes.
People complain I don't play that lady enough anymore. And
I
don't know what to tell you. I mean, it's probably because I played it so much. I don't play it as much anymore. I mean, you don't hear this very often.
His pubis.
Right? I'd like to play that every day, but I don't.
I'm glad.
I know. All right, Daryl, back to your question here. Which of those episodes did you think that reading that we read like an hour ago came from? The Return of the Archons, Miri, Bread and Circuses, or Assignment Earth?
Well, it could be... It could really be any of those, because that's when they went back in time.
Mm-hmm.
So your atmosphere would be all screwed up.
Yeah.
But I think my first thought was Bread and Circuses.
Mm.
Before you even read the answers, so I think I'll just stay with that.
So it's your first thought, your current thought, and your final thought.
I guess so.
Well, all right. Let's find out from our judges if that's correct.
Zert.
Congratulations.
Aww.
You're a winner.
Wahoo!
Nicely done. Kirk and Spock and McCoy go to the planet that resembles what the Roman Empire might have looked like in the 20th century. Spock and McCoy get into an argument over Smog, not Smaug. Well, I don't know why he'd write that. Here is a clip for comparison. All right.
Fascinating. This atmosphere is remarkably similar to your 20th century. Moderately industrialized pollution, containing substantial amounts of carbon monoxide, and partially consumed hydrocarbons.
The word was smog.
Yes, I believe that was the term. I had no idea you were that much of a historian, Doctor.
I am not, Mr. Spock. I was simply trying to stop you from giving us a whole lecture on the subject.
No, yeah, I played him a little more angry than he did.
Yeah. Well, you did. You did just fine.
Okay. I feel like I may have...
I thought that was you guys doing it again.
Oh, it was so convincing. We get to see Leonard Nimoy in Invasion of the Body Snatchers this weekend. Very exciting.
Yes.
Daryl, it's the 1978 one, just so you know.
Yeah.
Just so you know.
Yeah, not the 2014 one. Inside joke. Daryl's a Trek nerd and known as the Trek nerd on Twitter. If you follow him there, he'll have things to say to you. And he's also on This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com and a little show called The Grumpy Cast. Daryl, why don't we play a game with you now? What is it called?
What do we have? We have, how about Star Trek thing or actual scrotal disorder?
Oh, gosh. Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Wait, we have a theme for that? Here you go.
My scrot.
There you go. All right.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
Hydroseal.
Hydroseal?
Hydroseal.
That doesn't sound like a scrotum problem.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like one, does it? Like a water seal in your scrotum?
You know, I never thought I'd say the words, that doesn't sound like a scrotum problem. But here I've done it. I lean toward a Star Trek thing, but maybe that's too obvious. Maybe I'm being thrown here. I don't know.
Yeah, it does. This would seem to lend itself to a little bait and switch. I still say I'm still leaning Star Trek.
All right, we lean Star Trek. Where does the truth lean?
It is an accumulation of serous fluid in a sacculated cavity, whatever that means.
Where the hell is that, though? In Star Trek?
Voyager.
Not on Star Trek.
Captain, we've got a lot of serous fluid backed up in our secular chamber.
Oh, gross.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
Welcome to the news, everybody. Oh, man, do we have news for you.
Ooh.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a little bit of the news. Rule number one, Brian,
mm-hmm.
because I know you're fond of doing this, so stop it.
Sure.
Don't badmouth Sasha and Malia Obama or any of the president's kids of any era.
Rule number one of Sasha and Malia Obama. Don't talk about Sasha and Malia Obama.
That's right. To you, they don't exist unless you have something nice to say. There is little, this article goes on to say in the LA Times, there's little Republicans. Sorry.
There's little Republicans.
There's not little Republicans. I just want to stop there, but I can't. There is little Republicans. And I should continue. And Democrats agree on in Washington these days, but the informal ban on publicly ripping on the president's children seems to be one of the few remaining spots of common ground, or so a young GOP aide learned on Monday the hard way. A Facebook diss was posted Friday about the Obama daughters appearing at the Thanksgiving turkey pardoning, we'll call it.
The turkening. Turkey 2.
The turkening. Never forget. Never surrender. 2 days after apparently cost Elizabeth Lawton, a congressional communications director, her job. She's out. It also served as a reminder that some bits of Washington decorum remain. The kids, it seems, are still off limits. Well, of course they should be.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a cheap shot no matter what you're doing.
Republican, Democrat, whatever. You don't you don't pick on the president's children.
Yep. A communications professor at Rider University had this to say. I heard about it and thought, no, she didn't really go after Malia and Sasha. Did she really? ? I didn't know anyone who's ever gone after the first children in such a way. They're called the first children?
Mm-hmm.
I guess so.
Yeah.
It has a creepy ring to it, doesn't it? The first children.
They're the F-CODIS. Just like the FLOTUS and the POTUS.
Yeah, right? The offspringus. Anyway. Of course, a stray comment here and there isn't unheard of. Amy Carter, Chelsea Clinton, and the Bush twins, Barbara and Jenna, they were all subject to scrutiny and mockery. It's nothing new, but experts noted how the protocol is being tested more than ever by the hyper-opinionated instant commentary world of social media. Also, they're younger kids here.
Yeah.
Like when they're
Jenna,
young.
Yeah. Jenna and Barbara, the Bush daughters, when they had their drinking binge or what, I can't remember what the deal was. Yeah. I mean, they did get a lot of heat for it, but it wasn't the kind of...
But they were in their 20s.
Exactly. Right.
And I think there's a difference because when you're just when you're a minor, hands off, dude. Mm-hmm. Anyway, let's see. Although plenty of kids have lived in the weird bubble of the White House, perhaps none have experienced it quite like the current first teens. Now they're calling them the first teens.
I like to imagine that the White House has a room that's just a weird bubble.
Mm-hmm.
The weird bubble of the White House.
I'm going to read you the actual thing if I can find it.
Okay.
Like biodome is what you're thinking?
Yeah, exactly. Like a little hamster wheel that they put the children into.
Love it.
Yeah. First children. All right. Into the bubble now.
Into the bubble, kids. Okay, Mr. President. Here's the comment. It doesn't bother me what the first daughters were wearing and if their behaviors are not appropriate, but that's something for mom and dad to deal with, not us. Oh, wait, this is still a response to the other thing. Dang it, I can't find the actual thing. I can't find the actual comment. That's dumb. Huh. Anyway, this lady called him out and said, have a little class.
Yeah,
dressed terribly.
There was a part of it that was like, you're at a public event, not in a bar waiting for a seat or something.
Yeah, waiting for a number or something like that.
Oh, it's got to be pretty easy to find.
I can't find it. Well, I swear it was in here.
God, it seems like every 5 seconds they were repeating this thing on the news.
Were they? Well, let's see. It's not in here. Is it not in here? I think it's not in here.
That's not in that article?
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Let's see if it's in the Washington Post article.
Hey, LA Times, you suck.
There's a lot of the apology stuff. Here we go. Dear Sasha and Malia, I get you're both in those awful teen years, but you're part of the first family. Try showing a little class. Rise to the occasion. Act like being in the White House matters to you. Dress like you deserve respect, not a spot at the bar.
Oh, zing.
And not that they were dressed perfectly fine. That's the funniest thing.
They are totally fine. It's fine. One of them has like a short skirt thing on. That's it.
Yeah, like a tartan kilt kind of looking skirt.
Yeah, F off, lady. Mm-hmm. You're a bag. That's lame for her to say.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have said that. Now, if they're in their 20s and they're being dumb, fine. They're adults. Have at them. But when they're little, when they're teens, come on, stop it. All right. Here's some good news, though. You ready for some good news? Here's some good
please
news.
Please give me some good news. Please.
Time.com is reporting this. HIV, you know, the virus what causes AIDS, may be evolving to become less contagious and deadly. A new study shows.
Wait. It's evolving to become less contagious and not as deadly.
And not as deadly, although that headline does kind of suck because it's not good English, but you're right. I think that's what their meaning is. It's like, it's less contagious, but it will kill you. The virus is adapting to the human immune system, weakening itself in the process. HIV may be naturally evolving into a milder, less fatal virus, according to a recent study at Oxford University. Found the HIV adapts to the human immune system is not only becoming less deadly, but also less infectious. The main indicator, scientists conducting the research said, is that HIV is taking longer to transition to AIDS. Virologists say that eventually it will become almost harmless, according to the BBC.
Wow.
Let's see. Oxford researchers came to this conclusion by comparing HIV infections in Botswana with those in South Africa, where the virus arrived 10 years later. And it is just straight up less viral. It's less virulent. That's good.
Great news.
The idea is that if you can keep it kind of at bay and it's not a easily communicable disease outside of needles and sexy stuff, then it's you by keeping it at bay, it doesn't have a way to adapt. It just kind of starts to fizzle out.
Because that was the problem, is that it would learn to it would basically get stronger by all the different methods of delivery.
Trans delivery.
Yes. Sorry. I'm having to also fill out a permission slip right now that has to be turned in this morning.
Oh, great.
Yeah, say hi to Tristan, everybody.
School.
What do you need me to do? You need me to sign? All right, sign. It is okay for my son to participate in live sex acts and an assembly put on by E! Entertainment Network.
Perfect. Finally. Anything else? His train has come in.
You'll fill out the rest? Make it look like my handwriting.
My wife knows my signature really well. If I died, she could totally fake that I was alive forever. For years, she could do it. Anyway, good for HIV, man. Get less important, so we don't have to worry about you. Man, in the 80s, it was the beginning of the end, was it not? That was going to be the thing that killed us all. Do you remember that?
It totally was, yeah. And for a while, it looked like it was poised to do that very thing.
History is starting to teach me something, and that is that when people freak out on the news, it's usually not going to be the way that they freak out about.
Are you saying that alarmist lifestyle is just not good?
Yeah, I am. I'm saying this is what I'm really saying, that I am susceptible to the alarmist point of view, in that when they say something alarming, my natural inclination is to get anxious about it. However, there is a part of me that is very rational and goes, will you stop being anxious? That's just dumb. Shark attacks are not up. There's just one shark attack. Now they say they're up. So everything's fine. So I don't know.
It's true. It totally is true.
I'm like a split personality on the whole thing. Anyway, HelloFresh.com is sponsoring today's program. You know them. Yay! Love them. HelloFresh.com. Oh, I didn't look what this week's things are. Let's go look.
Ooh.
Yeah, right?
HelloFresh.
Hello. This week, they are putting up recipes by actual chefs that are the following. Sauteed chicken with mushrooms and mashed potatoes. Awesome. Mm. Steak and Brussels sprouts stir fry. Yum, yum, yum. It's got jalapeno in it. Lemony.
How do you do with jalapenos?
I do fine. They're great. Good. Love them. Good. Yeah, they're good. Lemony shrimp linguine. Honey roasted pork chops. Mmm. Butternut squash and barley risotto.
Yum.
Put all that in your oven and cook it, because you can. They send it to your farm fresh to your door, and it's amazing and it's great. And if you haven't used these guys yet, let me save you some money. 50% off for first-time customers. Use the code MORNINGSTREAM at checkout when you go to HelloFresh.com. They will deliver to you, because they just expanded like crazy, and they're awesome. It's, again, HelloFresh.com. 30 minutes or less is all it takes to make that food, dude. It's just no big deal. You look like the hero.
For people?
Yeah, you look like the Guy Fieri of your house. Wait, let me take that back. You look like all the other good chefs that don't get much airtime of your house.
You look like the Alton Brown of your house.
There you go. Everyone loves him. HelloFresh.com. Go there today. I promise you will not be disappointed.
If communists have attempted to inject their propaganda into the motion picture, they have failed miserably.
Look, it's Celebrity Poop, which starts with a revelation that none of us have been prepared for. Mm-hmm. That we might
get. You shall not finish.
You know what? From that, you could glean a lot of what this is saying. The Hobbit may not be the end of the journey, says Sir Ian McKellen. He came out in an interview. He sing talks, you know.
Mm-hmm. He does.
He came out and they all said, Mr. McKellen, Mr. McKellen. And he waved his hand and all their microphones all came together and mushed together in a big pile of metal. Because he is Magneto.
He's Magneto.
Sir Ian McKellen said he is not sure.
We should have a movie about him called Gang-Nito.
Gang-Nito.
Gang-Nito. And have him like combine all that stuff in one thing.
Sounds like a mobster tale, doesn't it?
Gang-Nito.
Yeah, Gang-Nito.
He's kind of a wizard with metal things.
Yeah, you're coming through here? I'm sorry. You shall not pass.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fly, you fools. All right. He says this. He's not sure the Hobbit film will actually be the end of the movies. Or the end of the journey, is his exact words. He played Gandalf in all six Peter Jackson movies set in Middle-earth. He was speaking to at the premiere of the final Hobbit film, The Battle of the Five Armies, which has been which was attended by many fans of the series. Really? Oh, so a bunch of people went? Okay.
Wow. And they were fans. There were people who wanted to see that. Wow. The movie was seen by people who wanted to see it.
Yeah, weird. You mean it wasn't Ian McKellen, two reporters, and a gay guy? They all went to see the movie? I don't know why I said gay guy.
And another gay guy. Redundant.
Yeah, because he'd have his man friend there. Is he married partner, or what has he got? He's got a partner, I guess. Mm-hmm. They're not married. I don't know.
They might have in California when it was legal.
Well, who knows? The director himself said the support from fans gave him a real boost and helped encourage him to make the films. This article is meaningless. This is what I think happened. I think Gandalf said something like, "Oh, who knows? Maybe it's not the end." Right? And they went, "Whoa!" Blah, 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 and everybody went to their typewriters and, "Breaking news, everybody. Gandalf says there may be more." There's probably not going to be more. Why would there be more? There might be some other spinoff.
What would they pull the material from? I mean,
side stories, you know, like some hidden what's that book? Similinkrum or whatever the hell it is. What is it?
Smalkrum?
However you say it. He's got stuff in there he could do, maybe. I mean, some of the stuff in The Hobbit was pulled from there. Some of the stuff in Lord of the Rings was pulled from there. So,
well, could they technically do a Middle-earth themed movie that wasn't based on material by J.R. Tolkien?
Good point. I think they could. They totally could, yeah. Why not? They've made up other characters.
Sure.
Isn't the White Orc? Like,
two-thirds of these three Hobbit movies are I don't know about embellished, but certainly added on to material from the original book.
Yeah, like the White Orc, I want to say, is mentioned someplace, but that's it. And now it's like a full-blown villain character. Like, yeah, they could go crazy. Like, I mean, I'm playing that game. Still playing it. The freaking Shadow of Mordor, right? And that game is a whole separate tale.
There's not stuff in there that's written by J.R.R. Tolkien.
No, there are lots of references and things, but
saying it's a Cimmerillion? I thought it was. I don't know why I thought Simulacrum.
I don't know. Whatever.
Simulacrum.
I've never said it right. It always sounds like a weird part of your anatomy.
That's just a word. Simulacrum. Simulip. The hell. Simulacrum.
You know, they're just somebody's taken our nerd cards and just shredded them in front of our face.
That's fine.
Yeah, I don't. I like the Surface Tolkien stuff.
Studio is what that is.
Yeah, soup studio.
Thank you, Tinvec.
Parks and Recreation in the news, because that's a show that's going to go away soon.
Yeah, the last season.
Actually, back up for a second. The Hobbit movies as a whole, so far, we've seen the two, right? We haven't seen the third. Yeah. Your estimation of how all that went. I think they've been great.
I do too. I think they've been really good. I've enjoyed them immensely.
I feel like there's just a general souring toward them.
Really?
By nerds, and I don't know why. I feel like maybe it's because I think the Peter Jackson treatment is so Peter Jackson-y. In other words, it's just so recognizable that when you start doing more of it, people start to maybe just tire of that or think they're tired of it, or they grew up since then and now it's all old hat to them or something. But there seems to be just like a little backlash here and there. Like, I just don't hear the same kind of buzz for it. You don't hear people freaking out. You mostly hear like a lot of negative stuff. It's like, oh yeah, well, that's all we need. One more Lord of the Rings movie. Yeah. Hey, Peter Jackson, why don't you try something
new? It's over.
Yeah, why don't you make a different movie? Well, he did. He made like four different movies between the last set and this one. Bunch of jerks. Anyway, I don't know why people feel that way. I think stuff's fine. It's great. I look forward to having a yearly, you know, version of whatever.
I do too. It's been fun. I'm gonna miss it when it's gone, I think. Yeah. And I would have no problem with a continuation of stories from Middle Earth. You know, focus on the elves or focus on the some of the kind of the ancillary characters and do you know,
or make a big HBO show out of it. I don't care. Do something cool.
Right.
New characters, whatever. I think that's fine. It's been an unexpected journey. Pretty good. Okay. Hey, Parks and Recreation fans, get ready to get a blowout you'll never forget on NBC.
Parks. Jabba the Hutt. Because he's in the theme song.
Oh, did you watch
Jabba the Hutt. Jabba the Hutt. Jabba the Hutt. Jabba the Hutt.
Did you watch that treatment of the trailer by George Lucas? Did you end up seeing
yes. it? Yes. Oh, that was great. So I love that, you know, there's all this stuff blocking things.
Yep. Yeah, it's great. My favorite thing is that pilot in the X-Wing getting shot in the head for no reason. Right. Made me laugh so hard.
And the mysterious appearance of Hayden Christensen. Uh-huh. It's really good.
Jabba the Hutt out there sitting on the desert floor for no reason. All that stuff is great. Well, Parks and Rec, it's critically acclaimed. Everyone loves it. And it's really pretty much the only last quality sitcom on NBC, period. Will not be quietly going into primetime death next year. NBC announced a little while ago we'll be doing a double pump episode leading up into a February 24th series finale. Begins January 13th and 8th at 8.
So I'm going to correct you on that, because it sounds like you're saying that there's going to be one big double-sized episode. They're going to basically squish the entire season into a shorter period by doing two episodes a night as opposed to one episode a night all the way up until February 24th.
Oh, weird.
So most of January, all of February, season finale, February 24th, they're going to be doing, you know, just cranking out all the episodes.
Yeah, they're going to make it. Yeah, so you're right. Double pump could hardly be equated to primetime burial. Yes, during sweeps. Critics, viewers, and all of us in ABC fell in love with this endearing, funny, heartfelt show, and it's an authentic cast of characters, said Jennifer Salke, president of NBC Entertainment. After seven amazing seasons, saying goodbye. That's long enough. That's good.
It is, yeah.
Saying goodbye to the folks at Pawnee will be bittersweet. We want to give the show and its fans the most impactful final season possible. Also, we're cramming it all into one night, so we don't have to...
And I'm imagining that we're going to see the return of Anne and Chris, Rob Lowe's character, and, you know, all that stuff. So
yeah, because they went off, got married, or had a kid or something, right? Or something like that.
All of that. Yeah.
Spoilers. So very interesting that this is the show that created one of the biggest stars on the planet right now, Chris Pratt.
No kidding. Yeah.
Yeah. And who would have guessed Chris Pratt would have been that guy? I wouldn't have. That first season, I thought, who is this yokester?
I know. He quickly started stealing the show, though, after that first season.
Yeah.
Like, it was a total turnaround. The writing on him was so good, and his delivery. Yeah. Aubrey Plaza, by the way.
Yeah.
Did this thing on the Lifetime Network this last week called Grumpy Cat's Most Horrible Christmas Ever or something like that.
Oh, Lord.
This is a live action thing with Grumpy Cat.
Have we gone so far with that dumb YouTube internet meme that it has its own show and special now?
Yes.
Why are we doing that?
And Tina and I recorded it just to watch the train wreck. We couldn't get more than 5 minutes into this thing.
It's pretty bad.
But they did have Nyan Cat and Keyboard Cat.
Oh, good.
Making an appearance in here.
All the important cats from the internet.
But holy cow. So for a majority of the time, when you see Grumpy Cat talking, there's somebody out of frame who's holding him up and just bobbing him up and down to match the words.
Really?
That Aubrey Plaza is speaking. Yeah. So it's like, shaking the cat. So that his head moves while...
she's the voice of the cat?
She's the voice of Grumpy Cat.
This sounds like the worst idea I've ever heard.
It is the worst. It is the worst idea you've ever heard.
Oh, that's awful. All right. Well, good job, everybody. Way to go. Hey, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Fitness Geek will be here. Jury duty will happen, we hope. He's actually on a plane to Denver. Has he communicated that with you? Are you guys meeting up or anything? Or no? Okay. I didn't know if you were or not.
Thanks a lot, jury.
Well, I don't know.
Call him out now.
He may be in and out of there. Who knows? I don't know.
Whatever. Whatever.
In and out.
There's a phone.
I'm hungry now.
There's a bar at the airport. We could have a drink there. Whatever.
Yeah, whatever, man. Whatever. But we'll do all that in a minute when we play a song first. And that song comes from Brian, and it's called what?
Well, it's called Hold On Tight, folks.
Oh, no.
Hibberty Bibbard wrote in. Brett Hibberd said, hey, Scofflaw and Brigand, this is Brett. Brian, I'm the guy who wore the 2112 t-shirt at Snowbird. I do remember that guy wearing the Rush t-shirt. And today is my 30th birthday. If there is only one segment I can make all day, or I'm sorry, one request I can make all day, I would love to have the TMS audience hear Edward Furlong. Yes, that Edward Furlong and his musical prowess. Wow. You guys make my 10-hour workdays of programming robot arm welders a little less tedious. And for that, you guys deserve a trophy. Thanks, Shlod, yo. Hibberty Bibbard.
It's a mouthful.
It is a mouthful.
Yeah.
So apparently in 1992, Edward Furlong of Terminator 2 fame.
He was pretty good in American, What was the one?
Oh,
with
American History X. Yeah, that was good.
The good movie. Yeah, I forgot about that. That was mostly good because of what's his name in there, but he was still good anyway.
Yeah, right.
What's his name?
Norton.
Edward Norton. There you go. Norton.
Anyway, he released this album in 1992 called Hold On Tight, and that's exactly what I'm going to ask the listeners to do. This is his cover of The Doors' People Are Strange. Here is Edward Furlong.
A remarkable new polyester film called Mylar. This sheet is as thin as a human hair. Can you tear it? It's almost impossible. Can you bend it? Yes. Does it dry out, get brittle, chip, peel, or crack? No. Is it a new kind of cellophane? No. Is it similar to other transparent films on the market? No, it's completely different.
I insist upon adequate protection. Good night.
This is the Morning Stream asking, do dogs have brains? Because I really want to know.
That's not even the one where she screws up. That was the right one.
Right, that's right.
Nice job there, Mr. Fletcher. Here we are on the tail end of that song going, oh my lord, that was bad.
People strange when you're a stranger.
Whose idea was that? It's a bad idea.
I don't know.
It's a bad idea. He's not like in a band or something, right? Like right now, I think he's just in trouble all the time.
He is. Poor kid. Just can't get, I don't know how things are going now for him. That's, I mean, we heard so much about him a few years ago with the drug abuse, all the problems there.
I hope better. Because
yeah, I do too.
It's easy to make fun of, but man, that's no life. That is not the life for me.
That's what that is.
It is rough business. All right. Speaking of rough business, let's get this this rough business on the road here with a little theme, and it goes like this. Yeah, there we go. Hey, it's Bill O'Reilly. It's Bill Duran, everybody. Bill Duran.
We are doing it live.
We are doing it live. Every time we do it live. Bill Duran, our fitness geek here on a Tuesday. Man, what's going on? How are you?
I want to know if you guys recovered from Thanksgiving. How you feeling?
Sort of. Yeah. I had three of them.
I only had two Thanksgivings. But yeah. Scott here.
Yeah, I overdid it. I did. I was pretty good. Like there were many opportunities for me to screw up, and I kept a pretty cool head. We played a lot of poker at one of them.
Whoa.
And that distracted me from leftovers and things. So I think that helped. But on the whole, I feel like I didn't. I wouldn't have shamed you too much if you saw me.
Awesome. Yeah.
How'd you do?
We played a lot of Towerfall.
No, that game is so good.
Oh, so
game.
Fun.
Yeah. Yes. I saw photos of you in a group, and that all looked like a riot, and I wish I was there because that sounds like fun.
So here's the trick. If you're hosting Thanksgiving, which I was, when people are leaving, all right, make up a plate of food for them, mm-hmm. of leftovers, mm-hmm. and like sneak it into their car.
And that way you don't have it to munch on.
Or at the very least, you mitigate how many leftovers you have, which is what I did. We still had some leftovers, which we handled over the weekend.
Sure.
Yeah.
But we didn't have 15 people's worth of leftovers, which was good.
That's a lot of people's. You don't want that much leftover.
We had three different people make stuffing. So we had a lot of leftover stuffing.
You know what? You never can have enough stuffing, in my opinion. But I know that is one of the great offenders during the holiday, right? That's
it is.
Huge
calories.
It's
so good, though.
Yeah.
I love a good even crappy stovetop stuffing. Oh man, sounds so good right now. Even, but think about it. You're literally saying, "Hey, all that bread and carbs you shouldn't be eating. We're gonna concentrate that into a mash of that, mm-hmm. plus a bunch of other things. So enjoy. I mean, it is damn good. Oh,
fortunately though, I don't think I have ever had stuffing not on Thanksgiving. Like, do you ever going through the store and like. I don't know, May, and you're like,
you know, it'd be good for dinner night, honey. Let's make some stuffing.
I did it once. I admit to it once, picking it out on purpose, going like, you know, April, and saying, hey, this looks like a thing we could eat. And Kim's like, that's like Thanksgiving food. I'm like, yeah, come on, it'd be fun. So for me, for us, it was like a novelty, though. It was like eating breakfast for dinner, kind of.
Yeah.
You'd think that we'd have Easter stuffing, right? Ham and stuffing.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like it would go well with ham.
Sure.
That sound good.
Jesus stuffing. Mm.
All right. Let's switch gears here.
This is going the wrong way, Bill.
All right.
It really is. Let's talk about my new favorite meal.
All right.
So the challenge. Yeah. My new favorite meal, not eating, drinking lots of water.
Great.
That's it.
Perfect.
Yeah.
This new thing I'm trying out with the 4-hour body has very specific guidelines for the food that you eat. And the challenge when you're out and about in town and it's lunchtime and you're like, ah, crap, I got to get lunch. And I'm surrounded by fast food joints. You're like, what do you go get?
Yeah.
Well, here's my go-to meal. I go to Qdoba, or if you have a Chipotle.
Same kind of deal, right?
Basically the same thing.
Sure.
Go there, get a taco salad. Now, here's the flaw with the taco salad. It's got the word salad in it. If you just assume, oh, well, then just,
it's got to be the healthiest thing in the joint, sure.
And before, I've never done this before. I've known that it's beneficial to do this, to not have the shell. But the shell's my favorite part. Oh, it's so good. Mm. But I'm trying it out. So this is what I got.
Hard fried shell, or is it the soft tortilla type?
Okay. Hard fried one.
All right, great. Great, great.
I got no shell in none of their dressing. They have some sort of dressing they want to put on there.
Yeah.
Actually, how much does that
ranch,
add?
Like a ranch.
Yeah, something like that. And what's cool, too, is that folks at home can follow along. If you go to Qdoba's website and go to their menu thing, you can just check boxes which ingredients you get, and it'll tell you how many calories you're eating.
Mm-hmm.
So the one I put together is around 435 calories. If you add that flour, that tortilla, it doubles the calories, and it goes from 22 grams of fat to 44. It doubles everything.
Oh,
just
Lord.
With the flour tortilla.
Wow.
The bowl, the fried one.
Really?
Yeah.
That's crazy to me.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
So this is what I get on mine. The lady's like, she gets a bowl, like a cardboard bowl, not the flour one. She puts a crap ton of lettuce in it. Yeah. Basically, lettuce doesn't count, which is awesome.
Yeah, no calories.
And she's
basically
like, do you want the dressing? Like, no dressing. But there's a corn and bean thing they put on there. Get that. It's good. Mm-hmm. And then you pick whatever meat you want. You know, you got your chicken, steak, pork, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'll get chicken.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have those grilled fajita vegetables.
Yeah, those are great.
Those are awesome. Yeah. Throw those on there.
Yeah.
And then salsa and guacamole.
That sounds amazing.
It's this so is, good.
This yeah. is so cool. Like, as you click each checkbox, it shows you
mm-hmm.
what's happening with that.
So then the challenge is, well, what if I put fire habanero salsa? Wait, where's the cheese? Oh, they don't have it. They don't like.
Yeah, it's on the third one.
No, but they have their spicy Diablo cheese.
Oh, the nacho. Yeah, right.
Which on the website, they don't let it put it on there. But if you're at the place, you're like, you put that on there. They'll put it on there for you.
That'll start putting you into the four digits.
What do they call the bean and corn thing? What is that? Does that have a name?
Let's
Black
see.
Bean and corn salsa is what it's called.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I could eat. That sounds really good. We have a local place here called Cafe Rio, which is very similar. It's a local deal, though. And there's no reason I couldn't do that to their weird salads they have. And they have the same thing, except it's not fried. It's like a big doughy, like a flour tortilla thing. But get rid of that. Do the rest. Yeah. Why not? That sounds great.
Cilantro lime salsa or cilantro lime dressing is like 110 calories.
Yeah, skip that.
And like a lot of fat gram. Oh, man.
Well, this is what you do. And when you're checking out or after you check out, they have a thing with like some additional stuff with like utensils and crap. They also have limes there. Just grab a couple limes. Squeeze that out.
Yeah, good. Good call. And they could probably even throw like regular cilantro on there.
Probably, yeah. So this is what I realized going through this list of ingredients. There are 8 ingredients. I was like, I can make this at home. Come on, Bill.
Right.
The only thing, everything you see in there, you can get pre-made, right? Except maybe the fajita
black
vegetables.
Bean and corn salsa, you'd probably have to.
But you could just get black beans and frozen corn, you know, canned.
Yeah, but there's
black
something
beans,
else in there,
corn.
Isn't there?
Maybe.
You onions. Probably, I know there's onions, but.
Ooh. Forgot about onions. Anyway, it's not that hard. You can prepare like a bunch of chicken early in the week. And then just heat that up, throw it on some lettuce with. You basically just assemble the pile together, and boom, you got it. And it's going to be way cheaper than buying it at Qdoba and just as good.
Yeah, that sounds all right to me. It makes Bill say every time he eats it. Well, that's a hell of a recommendation. I think we should all take heart and eat that next time we go.
If you go to qdobaathome.blogspot.com, you'll find recipes for everything they make, including the queso Diablo.
Oh my gosh, I love it.
So you can make a light version of that too.
Holy crap. It's my new favorite website.
I call that the primeval dip. The primeval dip. Go there. Check it out. It's funny. It's on a Blogspot thing. That always cracks me up for some reason. I don't know why. I feel like that has become the GeoCities of the modern era of blogging, but whatever.
Oh, by the way, here's what's in the roasted chili corn salsa.
Yeah.
Yellow corn, poblano chilies, jalapeno peppers, half a red onion diced, third a cup cilantro chopped, lime juice, salt and pepper to taste. Easily make that at home. Put it in a Tupperware thing, keep it in the fridge, put it on everything.
Yeah, that sounds amazing.
Freaking everything.
Yeah.
Mix it in my coffee.
Get Qdoba. Awesome. Give me that. Thank you. Give me that address again. Qdoba what? Because Kim would love this.
Qdobaathome.blogspot.com.
How do you spell? Oh, okay. Qdoba.
Qdoba at home. Don't do the at symbol.
Here it is.
AT.
I'm going to send you this. So Qdoba, we don't have them here, but they're like Chipotle. Okay. And everything on here, they have like every recipe ever that they make.
So good. And the queso Diablo, like how you can make it at home. It's awesome.
Here, I'll send this to you. Anyway, that's very exciting. Bill, you've opened our eyes today. You've created a monster, really. Bill Duran is the man. You have anything going on you want people to know about?
Sure, I did. I had a big Black Friday thing this weekend that went really well, and I have a new ebook out there all about how I made my rogue armor from World of Warcraft really, really fast. So it's a super cheap ebook, $2, punishprops.com. You can go
check get that. That's a good idea, because that thing was wham bam, like in a week. We saw you suddenly had it, you fit right in. I was like, that guy's insane. So now you too can be insane by buying that
crazy
book.
Crazy Bill.
Crazy Bill Hickok. All right, dude, stay out of trouble. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Stay warm. Bye.
See ya.
See ya. See ya. That was a funny see ya. I liked it.
Sneaking it in really quick. See ya.
All right. Who's now? I know who. Jury duty.
These are their stories.
He's tweeting, so I think that means he landed.
Good.
So that's a good sign. And we'll just fire him up here, see what we
call
get.
Call him right there in the phallic airport known as DIA.
It's like a huge penis with the devil horse and the
swastika penis is what it is, really.
The Illuminati paintings and what else they got there? Oh,
that's it.
Horrible thing I have to run last time I was there. It was awful.
These are their stories.
I'm terrible with names.
Oh, the man, the plan, the can. He's in freaking Denver. We don't know why. We're going to find out now. It's Justin Robert Young. Hello.
Nobody knows. It's provocative.
Ooh, it's a secret.
Ooh. I assume it's a Go game. Yeah.
Yes, but it's a connection.
Oh,
like I'm going through Denver to Texas.
That's why he's not hanging out with you, Brian.
That's why he didn't call me and say, let's go have a drink.
Yeah.
I can only assume that would be the only reason.
Yeah, that'd be it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I always, for whatever reason, and I'll bring some internal politics to the Go game to a public forum where it's inappropriate to talk about it. But, for whatever reason, the Denver games are in hot commodity because one of the game runners is from the Colorado area and the other one is banging somebody here. So like they go really fast and I'm like, yo, I want to go hang out with Coverville. And they're like, I don't know who that is. Stop talking.
Stop talking. Right. I have a lady
to see.
Doesn't
matter. I'm banging somebody in Colorado.
Yeah.
That's the worst movie plot of all time. So, Justin, I feel like we've missed you a lot on the show. And it's funny because last week you were traveling. And you had mentioned to me we should probably get on this Cosby thing before it runs out of steam. And I would argue it still hasn't run out of steam. And some new things have come to light since. But I do want to kind of just talk about that for a second. And kind of where your head's at, because you kind of talked me down from a tree a little bit on texting one day. You probably don't even know this, but I basically was I've been so like strangely hurt by Dr. Huxtable potentially falling so far from the place we once held him so high. And I basically was coming up with reasons why someone would want to slander this poor man and it would be this concentrated effort, and I began having conspiracy theories in my head about how this could be accomplished by these nefarious people, and you were like, nah, he probably did it. I went, oh, really? And you said, yeah, and here's why. And you kind of made me go, oh, yeah, well, if I'm being rational, what you're saying makes sense. And I feel like I was just in that first stage of acceptance, which is denial. About this idea, and I don't know why I feel so strongly about it. It's probably because I have so many of his albums and tracks memorized as a kid that it's just sees such a part of my childhood that it's really hard for me to deal with the idea that he has potentially fallen this far from whatever graces we held him in. So I don't know.
Well, I mean, let's do a few things here. Number one, let's talk about legacy, and you made a very, very good point right there that you. Widely understood in between the two coasts where stand-up comedy kind of lives effectively. The greatest stand-up comedian of all time is Richard Pryor.
Yeah.
And his progeny is Eddie Murphy, mm-hmm. right? That is his direct descendant. And then from there, you get Chris Rock, Dave Chappelle, those kind of, racial, comedians, black comedians, right? Mm-hmm. And as important as they are, if there is a Howard Stern to Bob and Tom comparison, Bill Cosby is that for a large segment of the country who wants to connect with a certain with Black America and didn't want it all to be dirty language, for lack of a better word.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
And Bill Cosby has no equal in that regard.
Sure.
He is not only one of the best stand-up comedians of all time, but he is, quite simply a comic legend.
Right.
And that's before we get into everything that he did on television, not only with The Cosby Show, but also bringing Fat Albert and stuff like that.
Sure.
And let's not forget Ghost Dad.
Yeah, never forget Ghost Dad or The Devil and Max Devlin or
Leonard Part 6.
Leonard Part 6. I mean, these are all very important touchstones. but listen, even in the minds of people like Chris Rock, in the minds of people like Richard Pryor, and in the minds of people like Eddie Murphy, he is also that legend. Like Chris Rock.
Well, certainly. I mean, one of Eddie Murphy's most famous routines is him kind of publicly declaring his allegiance to Richard Pryor and not Bill Cosby, because Bill Cosby is poo-pooing.
Yeah.
His language.
Sure.
And Richard Pryor embraces him for it. And that's kind of shows you, really, in a way, is this kind of a turning point of where stand-up comedy went from there, as big as Eddie Murphy was.
Mm-hmm. Well, you don't see guys in purple Michael Jackson jumpsuits and jackets doing stand-up anymore, do we? It's not happening anymore.
It'd be nice if it came back, though. Those are ridiculous suits.
It was an odd time, I think, by any measure. But anyway.
So now that we've understood the legacy,
sure.
I believe what I told you when you were like, well, what's up with this Cosby thing? Where there's smoke, there's rapists. if 21 women come out and say the exact same thing,
mm-hmm.
you might be a rapist in the Jeff Foxworthy.
To bring up another legendary comedian. And you're probably right, and this is probably all true, with maybe, who knows if every account is as rock solid as any other of the accounts, but it doesn't seem to matter at this point. Like, the effect of it is the destruction of a late career comeback, and perhaps a legacy, to some degree or extent. When you're forced to resign from the board at Temple University, which is a thing that he, held high for decades and decades of time. When people like TV Land are literally pulling one of the most influential sitcoms of all time off of their channel.
That'll be back.
You think so?
The art will survive the artist.
Mm.
We just need to process exactly how bad the artist is.
Yeah.
And once we come to grips with that, horrible people have made amazing art that has meant something to millions, right. And I think we need to separate it, because ultimately our reaction to the art and our reaction to The Cosby Show specifically, was, very important and meaningful things, a generational shift in understanding, a black man as an authority figure. That's an important thing.
Mm-hmm.
For black audiences, a point of family, pride that wasn't, pandering, that wasn't, something that would be trading on specific elements of black culture. It was just a good, rock solid incredibly well done family drama.
Right.
That was incredibly popular. That's huge.
Sure.
However, Bill Cosby's not Dr. Huxtable, you know?
Yeah, it is a character, sure. I mean, he always tried to sort of portray that he was that guy, though. Like, his stand-up routines about family, his books about fatherhood, they all portray that he's essentially Huxtable, you know, in every way, yes, except not a doctor.
And it is at our peril if we believe it, you know? Like, it's everybody is not the character that they create. You know, you are not the character that you portray on the morning stream or the podcast. You know, it is probably an elevated element of your character. You are not always doing this routine. We are not always doing, like, when we've hung out together, we've had conversations like this, but it's not in this meter, it's not in this intensity.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. We are different people when you separate us from the things that we do.
But the differences we're talking about here would be like Brian and I, we're doing TMS and we're two happy guys and we're hanging out. And then as soon as we hang up, Brian goes and mutilates a baby dinosaur and I go hump a monkey. Like,
I don't make Tina watch me eat curry for half an hour. Right.
Right. Oh, did you hear? So I don't know if Justin's heard about this with his ramshackle schedule, but he reportedly, every time he goes on Letterman, makes the female interns sit and watch him eat curry before he goes on. Not Letterman, but Cosby. Well, Cosby on Letterman.
Oh, I see. Yeah, Cosby would make the Letterman staffers sit in the green room and watch him eat curry.
Why, silently. He had to sit. They had to have curry there waiting for him. And only the female ones, by the way. And they would have to sit and watch him ingest curry before the show. Apparently,
so
this is a thing.
Let's get to the next element of this, which is if we now understand that Bill Cosby is not Dr. Huxtable. Yeah. Let's wrap our minds around, before we got to Bill Cosby the rapist, there was ample evidence to suggest that Bill Cosby was kind of a dick.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, it is not new that Bill Cosby, I mean, go ahead and Google on Deadspin. He like made a football player cry because he said that he had gotten a C+ average and that he had felt proud about it. And he told him that he should feel ashamed that he didn't work harder, and made him cry in front of the rest of his team.
Wow.
Because, geez, like, his hero was berating him.
Yeah.
And then that's before we get into, and listen, Bill Cosby means something different to, and this is not a definite fact, It is a generalization that I'm very willing to have an open discussion about with anybody who wants to have it. Bill Cosby means something different to white people than he does to black people. And within the black community, especially with black entertainers, and this is what happened in the Hannibal Buress routine that in some ways started this snowball.
Yeah.
Part of it is that he talked down to black youth.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was pull your pants up and, you know, what's up with the hippity hops?
I can hear him say it even.
Yeah.
Yeah. He does that a lot. I remember him kind of chewing Jon Stewart out one night, even like not even a year ago, for cussing all the time. So he's known for this.
And like, we view it through the glasses of like, one of America's foremost family entertainers. I guess he's got some strong opinions too. Mm-hmm. And not like, wow, that guy's kind of a dick.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I don't know where it goes from here. The problem I have with it is just it chipped a giant chunk of whatever remaining innocence I had on me. I'm naive in this way, but I thought if there's a chance of one guy in the Hollywood thing that is not going to be a big smear since James Stewart died, it's going to be Bill Cosby, because squeaky clean, man, just going to go down as the great father and the comedian and the whatever, the holder of the torch. And that's just not true. And often what I am shown with these experiences is how untrue it is for so many people. Like, everybody is just a person, and they've all got their weaknesses, and his are amplified with money, power, and whatever, and you know,
but, and rape.
And rape. And rape is bad, and it's bad, and it's just terrible. Like, you read these accounts, and you go, holy crap. Like, I heard about the Janice Dickinson, supposedly the first supermodel of all time, or whatever. She has that, that title. She was on Celebrity Rehab and was a absolute basket case, just a complete mess. And when she came out and said, yeah, Bill Cosby, he totally raped me when I was 19 or whatever. You just read that and go, is that partly why you were... I mean, I'm just naive to it. I hear these things and I don't know who does these things. Why is this a thing anyone does? Why wouldn't you just love all your money and your sweet freaking Fat Albert cash and just enjoy life and not rape people?
Like, well, because apparently, I mean, this was happening as... I mean, this is like stuff that stretches back to like the 70s, right?
Yeah.
You know, this has been a thing for a very, very long time, if you are to believe the accounts. And, you know, some people are just kind of, you know, broken, you know, they have deep seated issues that kind of, that's a broken subroutine and it just keeps running over their head, fucking one after another. Sorry for the F-bomb.
Anyway. Oh yeah. I just realized it didn't even occur to me. I had too much Sopranos, I guess. I don't know.
I
even
apologize. Yeah, just tell your kid it was a barking spider.
What would Bill Cosby say to you right now? That's what I wanted.
I know. I feel like I'm summoning up all the anger for people that Bill Cosby is told to stop cursing. Yeah. Well, how about you stop raping?
Yeah, how about that? By the way, the worst headline to come out of this, I just want to mention this. This was on browbeat.com. The headline is, Bill Cosby's career is over. What will it take to bring R. Kelly down? What?
What?
I don't know why that's even there.
I mean...
Somebody doesn't like R. Kelly, I guess.
I don't know anything about R. Kelly. I hate, so I'm, again, naive to whatever R. Kelly's up to.
Go ahead and go on a deep dive of R. Kelly, Scott. That would be a fun another segment for us to go through the allegations of R. Kelly.
Oh, yeah. No kidding.
I don't know enough about...
You know, the stuff they accused Rob Lowe of, they also accused R. Kelly of doing it, too.
Okay.
Oh, no, I guess there wasn't a...
Also, underage with... I mean, Scott, I don't know how to put this any other way, but he peed on the young girl.
Oh, and, gosh.
Recorded.
good heavens. That seems like an ill use of one's urinary needs. You know? I don't know. Wow.
Yeah.
He's still rocking it, though, right? Still kicking it and putting out albums and things, or what?
Yeah.
Trapped in the closet?
So he had to go away for a little bit, but he's back and decided to make a video with he had a fairly hit single with Lady Gaga earlier this year, maybe last year, called "Do What You Want," where the chorus is "Do what you want with my body," and right. The video that they made for it, which has never aired, was also shot by a famous fashion photographer who at the time had a lot of rape allegations swirling around him.
Wow.
Was described as basically a infomercial for rape.
Mm.
Like, you know, selling the virtues of how awesome rape can look.
Wow. Glad she tied her wagon to that song. That Lady Gaga.
So they decided to not release that video.
Oh, that's good. Okay, so still controversial. I know nothing of this guy. I don't know what's going on. What's his big hit? I don't know his hit. Does he have a hit? Oh, I believe I can fly. That's the one.
Oh, I believe. Oh, yeah.
But first, I know it starts.
Okay, that's the one.
Yeah,
I know that one. I don't have that song. I just want people to know that is not in a collection of mine. I play that off.
That's not in your iTunes library right there?
No, it is being played off his Wikipedia article. So there's that.
Oh. Yeah. What about Bump and Grind? You ain't never
no.
Nothing wrong with a little Bump and Grind.
Well, here it is right here. It's also... Girl, you need someone. So it's definitely of that kind of... It's that era of
R&B. 90s R&B.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there you go. To all his fans and haters, good luck with all that. Anyway, I don't know where we end up here. So you go ahead.
Here's the good news is that very often in life we have confirmation bias and we count the hits and not the misses, you know? And in this case, I think we look at celebrity culture and we count the terrible and not terrible, mm-hmm. you know? And so for every hero that we have that is, you know, horrifying and does things that we are just terrified of to speak of, right? There are the vast majority that are good, hardworking, decent, if maybe slightly egomaniacal people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's great. You know, there's far more good in the world than there is bad. And if we fixate on the bad and we assume we tar and feather people for what a few people do, then I think the world is you know, you're not ruining the world, but you might be ruining the way that, you know, you can experience the world.
Sure. Because
it's a pretty awesome place.
Yeah, it's pretty good. No, it's a good point. This is a small, well, it seems big. Like, it seems huge to have this former mentor to generations, right? Sort of in a way. Big public sort of thing. Go this raw, this bad. Mm-hmm. Seems like, oh no, it's all bad. And it's not. There are some, you know, I don't know. I'm trying to think of a good example of who out there is a, like who in the public entertainment world can I look at and go, yeah. Like a big prominent one. That guy.
Oh, there's a lot of it. I mean, Chris Pratt, I don't know why I'm having such a hard time. Matthew McConaughey. I mean, these are all, you know,
yeah.
Matthew McConaughey, the biggest clip you can find on his radar is he.
What?
Like, are we going to run right back into that same problem?
Probably.
Thinking that we need somebody to do that?
Probably. And I guess that's where I was coming around to, is that I guess I'm going to stop giving a poop about that.
Because
who cares? Like, at some point, I remember thinking, man, Harrison Ford, that's the guy. I want to be like him because he's got this lady. He's been married to her almost 30 years. Look how committed he is as a father. That's the kind of father or husband I want to be. I want to be that guy. And then he went and got two earrings and married Ally McBeal and moved a ranch somewhere and left everybody in the dirt. And I just went, oh, well, you're not supposed to go and do that. Like, who's left? All right, well, Tom Hanks. He's pretty cool. And then one day we're going to find out that Tom Hanks puts electric eels up his butt on a nightly basis or something.
Don't knock it till you tried it,
bro. But you know what I mean?
That crying baby you're hearing right now?
Yeah, it's on your flight.
That's the seat right next to you on the plane, Jerry.
Just do like Kim does. Offer to like hold it and help it. It makes the flight easier. It's so much easier to be nice.
Exactly.
Anyway, well, it sounds like you're checking in. So if you had to put a final,
hello.
He's literally checking in.
Oh, hold on, I'm getting a new seat.
You've got metal.
Probably his phone.
Thank you. I got upgraded to first class. Everybody,
shut up. Shut up. Really?
I did.
How'd you arrange that?
Because they said, Justin, your point on Bill Cosby is so good. We're rewarding you with this first class.
Nice. Well, may Justin never be one of those guys with the great controversy swirling around him.
No, I mean, here's my point. Artists and art are many, many things. And I think that we are all inspired by them. And we all are. I mean, everybody who's talking to this are them. We're talking to a lot of them. But we're not... You know, we're not role models. Role models come from life, you know,
they're often quiet and not in the public eye. Those people,
and like they don't necessarily even have to be people. Sometimes, you know, you just look at what you want to pattern your life.
Sometimes it's Steve Rogers or Superman.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, a fine, good Jewish boy.
Supermanberg. Exactly.
And I think it's when, you know, like I would say just you try not to put all your eggs in any one basket and don't let the fact that one dude is a total creep, you know, ruin your fandom of other stuff.
Yeah.
Because you know, it is all rad art at the end of the day.
There is something just popped into my head. There is a chance that the reason we all have such love for Star Wars, Lord of the Rings, Marvel characters, Batman, or whatever, is that these people aren't real and can't disappoint us in that way. Do you know what I mean?
Nope. They're not going to let us down.
They're not. They're going to be what we want them to be always, while the regular folks, you know, well, you find out Bob Hope was, you know, killing baby chickens with his fist or whatever.
Doing the toot.
When you find out Bob Hope was using copious amounts of toot, you can still be happy in the knowledge that Steve Rogers will use his shield for good and not evil. And I guess there's something to be said about why our fantasies have become so important in these days. Justin, may your flight be as first class as it's ever been.
Well, thank you guys. Yeah. And big heads up. New Night Attack podcast tonight. It's going to be live. I was able to swing coming to Austin on a random business trip. So I'm going to be live in Austin for Night Attack.
Isn't the last time that happened? Wasn't there a big fight? Wasn't that the fight?
No. I mean, that was another time. But but we try not to talk about it.
Right. I'll just keep bringing it up every time.
And then the new version of Go Home, Santa, You're Drunk. Is available now on ebook and will be available on audiobook hopefully this week. Andrew Allen's getting those tracks back to me.
Nice.
Within the next 48 hours. So you'll be able to get that, all of it, at gohomesanta.com.
Very nice. Go check it out. Have a safe flight, and may the Huxtable lifestyle always be yours.
Jello pudding pop.
Bye now.
Well, all right.
All right, indeed. Brian, that does it for a show.
Oh, my God.
I know. It's been a wild ride.
It's been a wild ride, yes.
Yeah, I wanted to get this Cosby stuff out.
I feel like
out.
I'm on the plane with Jury right now.
I know.
Now.
It's really, that was a weird traveling. I feel like we were in the bathroom for a minute there. We were in the
that's right.
waiting area. We checked in with him. It was great.
Yes.
And it was right there in your hometown, which cracks me up. All right.
It was, yeah.
Frogpants.com/TMS is our website. Get all our links and contact details and things there. TheMorningStream@gmail.com is our email address. Read those most episodes, so I'll check for those tomorrow. We're on Twitter, @MorningStream, @ScottJohnson, @Coverville. There should be a show tomorrow. The only thing that could change is it's possible they're going to have me do the test tomorrow morning, and if they do, there won't be a show.
Oh, the colonoscopy test. Wow.
Yeah, which means tonight I'd be doing the goo drink, which gives me nightmares. I'll let you know well in advance. If not, honestly, if it's not today or tomorrow, it'll be next week because I can't do it Friday, so I don't know what they just haven't called me yet, so I don't know what's happening. I'll let you guys know. And in the meantime, have I missed anything?
Hang in there, brother.
Oh, thanks, man. Yeah, I hope I don't have to do it. I got to go to the DMV, so that'll be fun. I'm keeping my mind focused on that. I've got my mind set on them. I don't know. Leave now. Let's be done. Hey, do you have music? What are you doing?
I do. This one's going out to Casey. It says, good morning, gentlemen. Mm. On Tuesday, December 2nd, I'll be driving from Las Vegas, my hometown, and Brian's favorite place, to Alta, Utah, which is not far from Scott's home, Alta, to work at a ski lodge for the winter season.
Alta.
I would love to listen to any cover done by Lauren O'Connell. Brian played a cover she did of Roland the Headless Thompson Gunner several months ago, and I loved her voice. Any song she does that Brian thinks is good for a road trip will be just fine. Thanks, and never stop the show. You guys keep me happy. KCH. And there's a little smiley face right there.
Aw, very nice.
So Lauren O'Connell released an entire album called Covers. I'm not going to pull from that. I will in the future. But this one's really cool because it's a collaboration she did with Natalie Dawn, who is the female half of Pomplamoose, the band Pomplamoose that we all love. The name of the band is My Terrible Friend, and they released an album called Room for Ghosts a couple of years ago. On that album, they covered Kings of Leon's Holy Roller Novocaine, and that's what we're going to play for you right now. Here's Holy Roller Novocaine by My Terrible Friend.
Okay, we'll play it now. We'll see you guys tomorrow, hopefully, for Recommendals, Tom's Tech Time, and other stuff. Keep your eye on Twitter, @MorningStream, if you have any questions about any of that. Thanks so much. We'll see you then.
My darling, you look lovely. I come to lay you down. Lord's gonna get us back. 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 I know, I know. Lord's gonna get us back. Lord's gonna get us back. Lord's gonna get us back. Lord's gonna get us back.
Schmoody.
Duty Schmoody.
Duty Schmoody. Duty Schmoody.